Well, I want to welcome everyone here tonight. And if you're here tonight, I guarantee God has something for you. And those that are listening, keep your open heart. I'm sure you have a divine appointment here. But before we get started, I want to welcome all the nations who has been logging on and supporting us, and their lives are being changed. So I'm going to call Rachel up. She's going to fill us in on the stats. And this list here, I always are in prayer, and I want to keep these countries in prayer. And I see China right now is just below United States. And of course, with us being in this nation, United States, of course, that's going to be the top. But China's on the next one. And that is awesome, because China right now needs this message. China right now needs this message. The next one is the Russian Federation. And then we have France. And I thank God that France is logging on too, because they need this message. And I'm going to let Rachel finish up the rest.
After France is Latvia, Ukraine, Finland, Brazil, Vietnam, Great Britain, Canada, Netherlands, Argentina, and Sweden. And then there's still some who think they're hiding.
Awesome.
In general, our
there's
the big ones. Our stats currently reside at just under 2,700 people who've logged on. We're super, super close. We're still averaging roughly 20-odd some people per day, which is wonderful. And people are still coming and checking in the Why God messages. It's interesting when I take a look at the messages that have been listened to, because somebody decided that they needed to go back and listen to all the messages in July. So there was this whole period of messages going on in July, and somebody decided they needed to go back and listen to that entire section of messages, enough that they repopulated our top messages list.
Oh, awesome. Amen.
So we thank you, whoever you are. I'm going to keep it short tonight. How about that?
Yeah, beautiful. Wonderful. Let's give those countries a hand of praise. And I just want to start off as a continuation of where we're going. The world needs to know why God. And they have every right to know why God. And I want to emphasize why God, because we can't manifest ourselves in this world without God. And we need His strength. We just need God's strength. There's two different types of strength. There's a will, and then there's God's strength. And when you lose the will, you actually are endured with power. You have so much power, okay? It's just like your physical body. You can only lift up so much weight. You work it out. You can eventually work up so much weight, but there's a point where you just can't lift anymore, right? Okay. Well, there's another power, too, that supersedes that power. And I'm not talking about physical strength, I'm talking about spiritual strength. Because if your spirit is not lifted up, if your spirit is not endured with power, and you don't have strength to cope or to move on or to go have the ability to have any enthusiasm or excitement, you might as well forget about it. You're dead. You're just done. This is the main core reason of why God. And there's a series of understanding why God, but I always want to emphasize that God doesn't exist until you believe. And then He exists. But this is the oxymoron thing. He's always been there. He always existed. But He doesn't manifest Himself. He doesn't come into your life. He doesn't push Himself on you, so to say, without you longing for Him. Now, there are many gods throughout the world. I call them your religious gods and your traditional gods. And most of the people were brought up knowing God based in their family, traditions, or culture. But I want to introduce my God, who is the universal God, I want to say, which sounds kind of like, New Age language. It's universal God. But it is so true that my God is the world's God. It's not just the Western God. It's not just the European God or the Asian God or the Muslim God or whatever. It is the whole world's God, which supernaturally lives with inside of you. And I'm here to waken you up, to get you to a point of knowledge so that you are awakened. We're all asleep and we're all dead. And I was once dead. I was once sleeping. I was once lost until God found me. I didn't find God. God found me. He was searching to and fro, looking all over the place. And he just kind of pointed and said, "Ooh, this one. This one's worthy enough for me to have." And he plucked me and changed my life. And now, because of my life has been changed in a very unique, dramatic way, I'm here to confess the rest of my life now. I'm devoted and I'm committed the rest of my life to declare to the world this true living God that I call mine right now, which will be ours and yours soon. And I really hope and pray that that comes to pass. Because once we receive God and we know this true living God, your life changes in a utopia sense of bliss. The world that around us is temporary. You have a knowledge of that. And the things that are around us are really not real. They don't exist. There's an eternal bliss and eternal understanding that that's what life is really about, not here on earth. Even though your plans, God's plans, are established. Since the day you were born, He planted your life inside of you. Every dream, every hope, every desire, every unction that's inside of you, I call it the anointing. Everything that's inside of you is meant to be. It's predestined. For example, why do you feel the way you feel? And I'm hoping that your feelings are more of an inspirational type sense of feeling. Right now, most of us are probably dry, lost, depressed, and have these empty feelings, but you have a sense of desire inside of you, something that's exciting you, something that's driving you to a point of ambition, something that is giving you a life. Well, that's not you. That's God's plan in you. And once we accept that and realize that, then we move forward in that. And then we can come to a real life, a life that is like getting a shot of joy, a shot of peace, and a shot of righteousness. And you're just filled with this sense of bliss. And that's all I can tell you. You're happy all the time. And you're filled. You don't feel empty. You don't feel lost. You don't feel like you're in bondage of some sort or another. You have, you're free. That's basically how I can say it. There are stages of getting into this relationship with my God. And so it's important that you keep on logging on to these messages so that you can get a good base and a good foundation, and your mind is really renewed and your heart is established. And that is the purpose of these messages, and that you constantly keep listening and learning more and more, because in order to know my God, you can't know Him naturally. You have to know Him spiritually. And it's more than likely it's completely opposite of what you think. Literally. So you have to be completely reversed and flipped upside down in order to get a life. One of the things that I want to share tonight is that the kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violence is taking, and I'm going to alter some of the words, taking the kingdom of God by force. And why I added the kingdom of God by force is because people sometimes get that scripture verse a little kind of confused, and they think that, you know, victory is coming, you know. But technically, the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violent is taking the kingdom of God by force. And you have a kingdom inside of you. And to make it really short, it's the place where God is and a place where God dwells. And I'm going to make it really simple. It's your peace, it's your joy, and it's your righteousness. It eliminates all your guilt, all your shame, and it also makes you really happy and really at peace, content. And you just know that you're comforted. Tomorrow's going to be great. That's the kingdom of God. And when your kingdom is established inside of you, that's the way you feel. And that's why it's important for you to understand my God so that you can live that life. If you don't understand my God, you can't live that life. Because there are certain things that you have to obtain in order to live this life. And some of the things are very painful. One of the things that I want to share that's in this book, it's called the Holy Bible. Not many people know what this book is, but this book is the closest book that I was able to understand that came close to me and my experience. And it's an awesome book. The book is light, and I don't expect many people to start reading it and understand it because it's filled with a lot of mysteries. But I'm here to share those mysteries and explain to you those mysteries. I don't have anything to gain by giving you my knowledge other than being well done in my Father's eyes. In my God's eyes to say, well done, you're my son, you've done your job and I'm pleased with you and I'm establishing my life. So for me to stay and release all this knowledge to you and give you a life, I have nothing to gain because I don't want anything from you. Which support is nice, by the way, if you like to support. But at the same time, I'm happy just to see you have a life. So when I look at you and I'm happy, I know God is doing something and it's a good thing. When I look at you and I feel sad, it's like I got to stop and grab you and speak into your life and get you on the right track so that God can fulfill your purpose. It's almost like my reward is when you obtain a life and live out your life, I'm rewarded. And so I want my spiritual reward. I don't really care about a natural reward. I want my spiritual reward so I can store up all my treasures in heaven, and I don't care about storing my treasures here on this earth. But with that being said, one of the things about living in the kingdom, because the violent is taking it by force, there are realms of darkness that is camped all around us. And some of that realm of darkness is probably some of the closest people to us. Our loved ones, our husbands, our wives, our children, you know, our parents, grandparents. Not normally those forces act too much on the outside world. But unfortunately, that's just the way the spiritual world works. And God's a jealous God. And when he begins to start knocking on your door, many are called, but few are chosen. And I'm saying those that are here tonight and those that are listening, it's not by accident. You're not listening to a man here with a green shirt and half blonde hair. You're actually listening to the voice of God, a spirit of God that is declaring his message to you. And it's divinely appointed that you're actually listening. It's not by accident. It's divinely appointed by God. You could have been off doing something else, but you're hearing this message right now. So this message is for you. Somewhere along the line, just open up your ears, open up your heart. You're here for a reason. Well, with that being said, there's another verse in that book that says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. That sounds drastic, doesn't it? Sounds like really, what do you call that? Barbaric, yeah. Where it's like literally plucking your eyeball out and you're cutting your arm off. But the kingdom of God, let's get back to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is suffering. And the violence is causing it to suffer. And that violence is influencing yourself so that your peace and your joy and your righteousness is being stolen. And we have to combat that. Now, just those that are here right now, how many individuals have ever come into your life and put some kind of guilt on you, like you should have been doing something? Okay. Now, that in itself is considered the violence. And the violence is taking the kingdom of God. The violence is attacking the kingdom of God. See, it's not the person, it's the spirit for some reason or another that are called, but not necessarily chosen. Hopefully they'll become chosen, but right now they're considered the violent, even though they might be very close to you in some way or another, in a tight relationship or whatever it might be. But that violent is literally coming against the kingdom of God. It's stealing your peace. It's stealing your joy. It's stealing your righteousness. It's putting condemnation on you. It's making you feel guilty. It's making you feel shameful. And I'm going to elaborate on condemnation for a little bit, because that is the root of stealing your peace and your joy. If you can eliminate any kind of condemnation, any kind of shame, any kind of guilt that these attacks are coming to you, you're going to end up becoming more peaceful. Even as little as bringing up memory from the past that you might have done or what have you, and they're still holding those things against you or what have you. Or even yourself coming up with these memories and thinking about it, and then you're feeling ashamed for it. Is there anyone in that area that has that in their life? Amen. So listen closely. These are violence. And these violence are stealing from the kingdom of God. And we have to combat these things. In the natural, you are going to have to cut things off in your life. And that becomes very painful. Very painful. A lot of times we're afraid when that comes to us. Think about it. Let me ask you to start plucking your eyeball out. Now, I know eventually it's going to be better for you, but think about it. You got to actually go in there and try to pluck your eyeball out, and just the thought of it is fearful in itself. Well, let's take the eyeball thing out of it, because I don't want you to pluck your eyeball out. But what I do want you to do is look at the eyeball as one of those situations that are in your life. You got to cut it out. But it's going to be a fearful thing. You know, we got to find out why we're afraid. But we got to cut these things off out of our life in order for us to move forward in the kingdom of God. In order for us to be moving forward with this relationship with God. Because this relationship with God is only built and established in the kingdom of God. You cannot live in the world and have these things affecting you in the world, putting shame and guilt, and you're constantly battling with these things and have a relationship with God and Him bringing you into your destiny. It's not going to happen. So we have to clear out. We have to cut things off that's causing us, so to say, sin. And, you know, that's a whole new story. Sin is not what you all think. Sin is a whole different story, and I'll explain sin one day, so stay tuned. But sin is not, you know, something that you're stealing and, you know, all these other things. Sin is far from that. And a short version of sin is just not bowing to the commandments that are written on your heart, so to say. In a short version, sin is where you are not worshiping God to the fullest, to where you're subject to other circumstances in your life. For example, you're willing to hang on with your arm that's causing your life to be miserable. You're willing to hang on to your eyeball that's causing your life to be miserable. It's almost like you're allowing the violence to abuse you, and make you feel bad, and you're dealing with it and living with it. And yeah, you're getting through it, but at the same time, you're not coming into the fullness. You have to ask yourself, why are you in the situation that you're in when you don't want it? You can't change it. Think about it. You do all that you can do until you can't do any more. And then there's a point where you just can't do any more. How many of you tried to speak to people or someone who you love who has been in something and you've been asking them, please stop doing what you're doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're just not listening to you. They just totally cut you out and they're just ignoring everything that you have to say. Is anyone a victim of that? Okay. Well, you know the person isn't going to change. You know they're not going to stop doing what they're doing. There's a point where they just love their life. They love their will. And we have to come to a decision and say to ourselves, I want to pursue this relationship with God. I really want to. And there's a choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to cut your arm off and you're going to pluck your eyeball out? What are you going to do? Or are you going to continue to live that life? If you keep living that life, you might as well throw your relationship out the door with God. Go find a religious one. Go find one in a traditional state. Do your God of works and make yourself feel good. Put your own cloak of righteousness and falsify your life. Because that's basically what you're doing. You're falsifying your life by putting on a false joy, by a false happiness, by a false righteousness, and you're deceiving yourself, thinking that one day everything's going to be fine. Well, I'm sorry. You're never going to get there. And you're going to think that this is life. Oh, well, I guess this is the cards that I was dealt with, and it is what it is. And then you're going to always walk around empty, dry, and thirsty. You're never going to be able to experience a bliss of happiness. And there's no reason why you can't live on this earth with that place. It's almost like getting a new life. It's almost like going on vacation. It's almost like, you know, how many of us had a different life change? And let's say you got married. Okay. For the first couple of months, it was awesome, wasn't it? And then what happened after that? Things changed. And you have to say, why? Well, this is going to be repetitive over and over and over and over. And that's why I say it's so important to understand and search out and find my God, because that puts a stop to it. It ends. It's not going to be doing the same thing expecting different results. It's going to change. It's going to be your next marriage, or the marriage is going to be beautiful all the time. And, you know, your next life is going to be fantastic. We have to stop living in fear. Fear is a big killer. Perfect love casts out all fear. And one of the things that we need to establish, why my God, is to start loving this God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And when we make steps in this truth, He honors you. When you begin to make bold steps in this truth, any truth that I share, when you make a bold step into it, He honors you. And by Him honoring you, it's like getting another portion, a double portion, another portion. You know, it's almost like, Sarah, would you want a little bit of Dad for the day, or would you want all of Dad for the day? All of me. Well, you answered right. And that's exactly how it is when you abide by this truth. you get all of them. I don't want a little bit. I want it all. I want life. I don't want to live life, you know, half full. I want to live life full. There's no reason to be miserable. There's no reason to be unhappy. You have control of your life. Why are you letting this go on? You have to put your foot down. I understand your fears, but perfect love casts out all that fear. And if you don't, you're never going to feel this happiness. You're never going to have, you might as well just end it. But then you'll be losing someone who loves you very much. You don't want that. Life is too short, and we have to really understand. And this is why I emphasize so much, why my God? You know, there's a place of happiness, and you can get content, and you feel like you have your good days and your bad days, and you think that that's really what life is. But I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to think that, oh, Jim, what you're saying is a fairy tale and nobody can obtain what you're saying and it's almost impossible to reach that place. But if you test what I'm saying and you do it, I have this saying of mine. You hate me now, but you will love me later. Because when you do take that bold step in your state, that step in your life, and you cut off your arm and you pluck out your eye, not your physical arm and your physical eye, but your spiritual thing that's hanging on you, that is a part of your life, and you cut that out, you know, it's fearful and it's scary and it's painful at that moment. But you didn't see the new one that I got for you, the bionic arm. You know, and the bionic eye. You didn't see what was there after the fact. But if you don't, it's almost like that arm and that eye is going to just decay and rot, and then it's going to start rotting the rest of your body. It's going to start affecting the rest of your organs in your body, and it's just going to constantly decay you, and then your whole entire life is just going to rot. And that's why it's so important to hear what I have to say tonight. Because it's almost like for me to lead you to God and then not cut the violence off of you, to leave that violence still in your life that is just stealing and robbing and just tormenting your joy and your peace and your righteousness would be a very big mistake on my part. It would be foolish. It would be hyping you up with some kind of fairy tale now. Because all fairy tales are good, right? They're all perfect. But to get you to cut your arm off and to get you to pluck your eye out, I think it makes it more truth than a fairy tale, because you actually have to go through some pain. And without the suffering and without the pain, you can't, you don't have any victory. You have no glory in your life. I shared a message once about the glory, and I said it's almost like an athletic trainer. And, you know, if you don't go through that pain and you don't go through that, you know, hard bearing, you know, I love the ones that judge these people. They don't know that every morning and every night they woke up and was doing 50,000 sit-ups and, you know, drinking all kinds of power drinks and disciplining themselves while everybody else was partying and everything else. They're over here disciplining themselves for the goal. Well, this is the same thing with finding my God. There has to be some discipline in your life in the areas of spiritual places. And until we come to a place of disciplining ourselves, which the will has a lot to do with discipline. And before I leave this message, this is only the a foretaste of Sunday's message. Sunday I will give more of a meteor root message for this. But right now I want to call my brother up, Tim who is a pastor of this ministry, Pastor Tim Westerside, and he's going to share what God has laid on his heart about the will. And it's important to understand the sacrifice that we have to give to God. And until we lay our will down, we cannot have a relationship with my God. Remember, my God is not a religious God. It's not about doing 10 prayers and then you got a relationship with God. It's not about going to the Father and confessing sins and then you got a relationship with God. It has everything to do about coming into a place called the kingdom of God, a righteousness, a peace, and a joy. Amen? Amen. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim and greet the whole world here. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hey, good evening, everyone. Would everyone agree that there's probably 6 billion or so people on this earth? Well, I know that each individual person has a question, and that question is, what is my purpose here on this earth? And they might not always think about it all the time, but deep down inside, there's a question. And in here, we've spoke several messages on the purpose of God and, you know, why God? And it's truly about us being here for one purpose and one purpose only, and it's to be redeemed. And that redemption to God is laying down your will. Not my will, but your will be done. And there's two wills. There's the will of man and there's the will of God. Now the will of man, there's a definition on the will of man. I'm going to read it to you. It's pretty interesting. It says, here it is. The power of control over one's own actions or emotions. It's also the mental faculty by which one deliberately chooses or decides upon a course of action. Now I'm going to stop there for a second. With the will of man, God gives us a free will. He gives us the ability to choose. He gives us the ability to choose reasoning. It's not the ideal purpose for us is to reason. God wants us to follow our heart. We've been talking about the heart within each individual, and that's where God reigns. But the will of man has a power. And each one of us can exert our will in any situation or circumstance. But God, on the other hand, wants us to let go of that will. And he wants us to follow his will. And the question is, how do we follow God's will? Well, the will of God is life. It's the circumstances that you're dealt with. That's God. Everybody has a different circumstance from each other. And we need to surrender, accept, and receive. This goes back 12, 13 years. It was a word. It was a prophetic word. Surrender to the circumstances, accept what you've been dealt, and then receive what the outcome's going to be. That is the will, true will of God. And what happens is, a lot of times we have a problem with surrendering because we want what we want, and that's the will of man. The will of man's purpose is, I see something or I'm impelled with something and I got to make it happen. Where God wants you to truly be impelled by it within the heart, but he wants you to surrender to it so that he can give it to us. You know, take Jesus for instance. Jesus had a tremendous knowledge of the two wills. And when he was with his disciples, there was a time where he had to go to a city, and he told his disciples that he had to go, but Peter loved Jesus with all his heart, and he's like, Jesus, you can't go there. You can't go, because he knew the outcome of him going there. And Jesus said, Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you don't know the will of God. Now, with that being said, Peter wasn't Satan, but Satan is truly a spirit, and Pastor Jim was talking about it earlier, about these violence, is taking it by force. Well, Satan truly is a spirit that is opposite of the will of God. It opposes the will of God. And it can be an emotion. It could be a manipulation or a control. It could be witchcraft. It could be any one of those things. And within us, there's that spirits that reside. And it's our job to overcome them in every situation and to let the will of God take place in our life. Well, what Jesus, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was struggling with the idea and the foreknowledge that he had to go to the cross and he had to go through whippings and tortures and all these different things. And when he was in the garden, he was to the point where he even sweated blood. I mean, that was so painful just to acknowledge the fact that he was going to go through this torture because he knew it was the will of God. And he had the free will to say, you know what? I'm not going to go. I'm going to slip aside here. I'm going to get out of the garden. I'm going to go my own way. Forget this. But because he had the knowledge of the two wills, he said, you know what? Not my will, but God, your will be done. If this cup is before me and it is your will, let it be so. And for that reason, because he chose the will of God and he chose to walk in life in the circumstances that were before him, he did not feel the pain that he went through with the torturings and the plucking of his beard and the crown of thorns and the whippings and the lashings. You know, it was not imputed against him. You know, it pleased God to do that to him, but God's mercy and grace and his compassion was on Jesus because he was in his will. And he didn't experience that pain. And that being said, I can honestly say this. There's two different deaths. You know, we have a death here in the natural. And then there's also a spiritual death that none of us want to experience. And I had the privileges of seeing a tremendous person in my life. Went through a lot of suffering at the end of his life. And it brought a revelation to me about the will. And I truly feel if you overcome this will, this emotions, you know, putting yourself involved in the situation in life, if you can overcome that, I truly believe God's hedge of protection is on our life. I believe that he will go through sufferings, but we won't experience it and actually feel the sufferings. I believe also you will not experience death. You won't experience that pain as you're going through the end of the course of life. You'll pass right into eternity. I truly, truly believe it. Because what I saw, nobody can tell me any different. Because if you have a strong will and you fight life and you fight the circumstances, you will suffer. You'll suffer. And it's painful. You know, there's a scripture verse that God says about suffering that it pleases God to have people suffer. You know why? Because he's killing your will. And the reason why he's killing our will is because a lot of us fail to even let it go. So that's why he has to put that pain on us sometimes so that we would surrender to his will. And then he takes that pain away. Because that pain's only for a moment. The pain's only for a moment. But if we can actually kill our will, let it go, overcome it, I guarantee you, you won't experience the death. And you won't experience spiritual death because God will say, well done, my faithful servant. Welcome into the eternal life. I guarantee it. You know, when Jesus even went to the cross, there was a point where he started falling back into his will when he was on the cross. And he's like, God, why did you forsake me? There was a little bit of fear that came up over him. But then he even denied it again to the point of death where he said, okay, you know what? Not my will, your will be done. And that his spirit then was given unto God. That was on the point of his death. And that's what I believe when he had that revelation about God's will and he kept denying himself, God raised him from the dead. He raised him up from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And he had a revelation knowledge that God was going to do that. And he had the confidence to believe it. But if he still had his will attached, I truly believe that would have not happened. It would have not happened the way it actually took place. So it's our job and our duty on this earth to surrender our will and to surrender circumstances because Our emotions are always there, and it's easy to put our emotions involved in every situation that we live. There's a scripture verse in Revelations that even says, I think it's Revelations 21, if you overcome this world, I will grant you a seat right next to me. And what's the world? It's our will. You know, the will is such a crucial thing that we have to overcome. It really is. But there's so many people in this world that don't even know that they have a will. You know, they just think that they just have a life and they just live in this natural realm, and they don't see the spirit realm. They don't know that there's a heaven and there's a hell. You know, but there's a heaven and hell truly that takes place on this earth as we speak. You know, when you're suffering and you have a lot of questions of why, and there's torment going on, I believe that's hell, because your heart is basically established in a place that's in torment. It's troubled. Amen. So that's why I'm saying it's important to let go of that will, because we don't have to live there. We can live in a heavenly realm, which is peace, joy, and righteousness. And Pastor was speaking about the kingdom of God, and that's inside of you. And that's where, if you're following the will of God and you're letting life dictate to you and you're just flowing with it and you're not trying to figure it out, you're not trying to manipulate the situations, you'll see that you'll have peace, joy, and righteousness in that circumstance, and you will be in the kingdom of God. You know, we could be in the kingdom of God all the time, but you know what? The will allows us to come out of the kingdom of God, because maybe it's that we want something deep down inside. We're like, you know what? I really want that. So we manipulate, we control, and we force our way into that situation to obtain it. And you know what? Every time I try to do that, there's no peace, there's no joy, and there's no righteousness. I actually feel ugly. I feel shameful. Like I actually manipulated my way to obtain that. You know, there's no joy in that. But when I can allow life to dictate to me and let me flow and move by the leading of my heart and just kind of be, it's just like kind of being in a situation and you're just letting it unfold before you. And when it comes about, God will give it to you, because he gives you the desires of your heart. There's a sense of peace, joy, and righteousness in that situation. And I tell you what, there's nothing like it. And you can be in that state every day. But you know what? You got to choose it. You got to say, you know what? Not my will, God, but your will be done. And you will see peace, joy, and righteousness. And like I was saying earlier, I guarantee you, if you can overcome that will and you can lay it aside, you will have eternal life. You will have eternal life, because it's promised. It's a promise of God. Okay. So I'm going to end on that note. I'm going to call Pastor Jim back up. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. You know, and I appreciate your word, because of the fact that there is a part of us that doesn't want to lay these things down. Now, I know in my heart, because I'm moved by the Spirit of God, that this message is for us right now, because we're fighting sufferings. There are sufferings in our lives that is stealing that joy, that kingdom of God in us. And we have to make a decision today. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve Mammoth? Or are we going to serve God? Who are we going to actually bow down to? I know with me, I want a good life here. Okay? And it may not look good on the outside. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, rise up and walk. There's a power there, which gives me a joy and a peace and a love that makes life successful, that makes life prosperous, that brings unity in relationships that are pure. Like, do you want a good marriage? Do you want a good friendship? Do you want a good life? Do you want your children to be committed and devoted and loving? I mean, do you want unity? This is the only way. This is the only way you're going to get it. There is no other way. Outside of this, there is nothing more than, you know, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to get into too much areas where you can judge me. But at the same time, I'm here to get you into the kingdom of God. And I feel that if we don't surrender this will and cut these things off that are causing this violence in our life, we're not going to be happy. I know in my own life, I had to make a decision. I even had to come to a point of sitting some people down and saying, listen, if we're not going to change, then we have to move on. And I am transparent and opened. And then there are some people in my life that just would not choose to change the way they're thinking and always tend to put a guilt and a shame on me. And I don't deserve to have guilt and shame put on me. This is my life. This is the way I choose to live my life. And you want to continue to judge me and say what I'm doing is wrong, go right ahead. But don't make me feel bad. And because I kept on living in that realm of my kingdom of God suffering violence, I had to cut that stuff off. Is it painful? Yeah, it's my arm. Yes, it's my eye. But I know that God has a better arm for me and a better eye. You know, it's what it may turn out to be or what it's going to be, I don't know. But it's better for me to live without an arm and have a fruitful life and a refreshing life than to go on with my arm that is just decaying the rest of my body. And that's the only way that I can naturally state what I'm trying to say, naturally for you to understand. But spiritually speaking, if you don't cut these things off, they're cancers that are in your life, and they're just going to spread. Yep, and the outcome is death. You have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. And if you continue to leave this go on, you're just not going to have happiness, and you're going to keep on complaining that you want happiness, and you're never going to find it. And then you're going to say, ooh, what was it? You know, what is it? And it's staring you right in your face. You know what it is. Everyone here and those that are listening know the cancers in their lives that they have to cut out. They know what it is. And you know what the beautiful thing about it is? You don't know the outcome. You might save somebody. You might get them to actually change the way they're thinking, and maybe they will turn their life around and maybe save their condition. They may be going down a bad road, and next thing you know, because of your actions and your faithfulness and cutting it off and refusing to continue to live this way, that person may just turn around and change the way they're thinking and end up saving themselves. If you continue to go on in the direction that you're going, that person will never change the way they're thinking, and maybe it's just death now facing at their door. So I hope and pray that you have been able to understand this message tonight, and that you're going to take actions in your own life and begin to understand that the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and that kingdom of God is inside of you. That kingdom of God is your peace, your joy, and your righteousness, and that kingdom is suffering violence, and you have to learn how to fight violence because the violence is taking it by force. And you're wondering why your life is what the condition it is, and it's because you're living with cancer. You're living with your issues of violence in your life. So how many people are going to make a decision to start cutting some of this violence out of their life? Amen. Amen. So with that being said, I want to just say a quick prayer. Well, I've been praying this whole message anyhow, so it's quick for us as a closure, but it's been a prayer that I've been as soon as I walked up to this podium. But, you know, I want to just speak it publicly. Father, I ask right now that you enlighten them and give them the boldness of your love so that they have no fear moving forward. They know what they need to do. They understand what they have to do. You have opened their eyes and they see. Now I ask that you grant them now a love of you. So that love casts out the fear because they're afraid of the circumstances. They're afraid of moving forward. They're afraid of what might happen. whether they're going to get attacked more or they're not going to have provisions or whatever it might be. But Lord, I ask that you take that fear out of them now and give them that perfect love in you so that they don't fear the outcome. Let them know in their heart, establish their heart that you turn all things around for the good to those who love you. And you're making an attempt to show love. As they move forward, they're making an attempt to show love. And so, Lord, I ask that you meet them where they're at. I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I want to bless those nations, China and France. I want to bless you. And they continue to see you logging on. I know God's going to work some miracles in your life, those that are listening over there. Amen. And don't forget to log on. I got some prayer clothes that I want to send out to those nations. And also, I'm going to ask someone that might be listening or those that are here, I need some volunteers that are willing to just grab some addresses that are across in these different nations that we have so that we can just spontaneously mail them some prayer clothes. So if there's someone out there that would like to give me a list, I'd like to just make a quick letter or some kind of anonymous letter that I can place some of these prayer clothes into the letter and mail them across seas into these nations. Amen? Amen. God bless.